Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Therefore, it is best for me to surrender unto His feet, which alone can deliver one from the miseries of repeated birth and death. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. Even the sky cannot estimate the limits of its own expansion. So what can others do when the Lord Himself is unable to estimate His own limits? Okay, so these verses are so very important that the purports are sometimes 2-3 pages long. Prabhupada goes really into detail about the text, so just bear with it. It's like 2.5 pages. Lord Brahma, the greatest of all living beings, the greatest sacrificer, the greatest observer of the austere life, and the greatest self-realized mystic, advises us as the supreme spiritual master of all living beings that one should simply surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord in order to achieve all success, even up to the limit of being liberated from the miseries of material life and being endowed with all auspicious spiritual existence. Lord Brahma is known as Pitamaha, or the Father's Father. A young man consults his experienced father about discharging his duties. So the father is naturally a good advisor. But Lord Brahma is the father of all fathers. He is the father of the father of Manu, who is the father of mankind, all over the universal planets. Therefore, the men of this insignificant planet should kindly accept the instruction of Brahmaji and would do well to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord rather than try to estimate the length and breadth of the Lord's potencies. His potencies are immeasurable, as confirmed in the Vedas, Parasya Sakti Vividaiva Suryate, Svabhavikid Jnana Bala Kriya Cha, Svitasvara Upanishad 6.8. He is the greatest of all and others, even the greatest of all living beings, namely Brahmaji, admits that the best thing for us is to surrender unto Him. Therefore, only those persons with a very poor fund of knowledge can claim that they themselves are the lords of all that they survey. And what can they survey? They cannot survey even the length and breadth of a small sky in one small universe. The so-called material scientists say that he would need to live 40,000 years to reach the highest planet of the universe, being carried by a Sputnik. This is also utopian, because no one can be expected to live 40,000 years. Besides, when the space pilot returned from his travel, none of his friends would be present to receive him back as the greatest astronaut. As has become fashionable for modern bewildered scientific men, one scientific man who had no belief in God was very much enthusiastic in making plans for his material existence and therefore opened a hospital to save the living. But after opening the hospital, he himself died within 6 months. So one should not spoil his life, which is obtained after many, many changes of bodies in 8,400,000 species of life, simply for the concocted material happiness of life through increasing artificial needs in the name of advancement of economic development and scientific knowledge. Rather, one should simply surrender unto the feet of the Lord to make a solution to all miseries of life. This is the instruction of Lord Krishna directly in Bhagavad Gita, and that is the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam by Brahmaji, the Supreme Father of all living beings. Anyone denying this surrendering process as recommended both in the Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam, and for that matter in all authorized scriptures, will be forced to surrender unto the lords of material nature. The living entity, by its constitutional position, is not independent. He must surrender either unto the Lord or unto material nature. Material nature is also not independent of the Lord, since the Lord himself has claimed material nature as Mama Maya, or my energy in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, and as me Bina Prakriti Astada, or my separated energy in 8th division, Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Therefore, material nature is also controlled by the Lord, as he has claimed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Saracharam. Under my direction only is the material nature working, and thus all things moving, and the living entities, being superior energy to matter, have choice and discrimination either to surrender unto the Lord or surrender unto material nature. By surrendering unto the Lord, one is happy and liberated, but by surrendering unto material nature, the living entity suffers. So the end of all suffering means surrendering unto the Lord, because the surrendering process itself is bhava chidam, liberation from all material miseries, svastyanam, perception of all happiness, and sumangalam, the source of everything auspicious. Therefore, liberty, happiness, and all good fortune can be attained only by surrendering unto the Lord, because he is full liberty, full happiness, and full auspiciousness. Such liberation and happiness are also unlimited, and they have been compared to the sky, although such liberation and happiness is infinitely greater than the sky. In our present position, we can simply understand the magnitude of greatness when it is compared to the sky. We fail to measure the sky, but the happiness and liberty obtained is in association with the Lord are far greater than the sky. That spiritual happiness is so great that it cannot be measured, even by the Lord himself, not to speak of others. It is said in the scriptures, Brahma Sokyam Ti Anantam. Spiritual happiness is unlimited. Yea, it is said that even the Lord cannot measure such happiness. This does not mean that the Lord cannot measure it, and is therefore imperfect in that sense. The actual position is that the Lord can measure it, but the happiness in the Lord is also identical with the Lord on account of absolute knowledge. So the happiness derived from the Lord may be measured by the Lord, but the happiness increases again, and the Lord measures it again. And then again the happiness increases more and more, and the Lord measures it more and more. As such, there is eternally a competition between increment and measurement, so much so that the competition is never stopped, but goes on unlimitedly ad infinitum. Spiritual happiness is anandamuddhivardhanam, or the ocean of happiness which increases. The material ocean is stagnant, but the spiritual ocean is dynamic. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 4th chapter, Kaviraj Goswami has very nicely described this dynamic increment of the ocean of spiritual happiness. In the transcendental person of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Malitanjena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Darati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturabhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So before I start, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present here, especially very senior devotees like Yadubara Prabhu. Please give me your blessings. We can be like 5 years in the movement, 15, 20, 30, 50. There must be a little taste and loyalty to Srila Prabhupada. So seek your blessings to kindly allow me to speak something on this verse, which is the end, like Vedanta. It's the end of everything, the knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I took some notes from this. I mean, this whole chapter is connected like a thread to each other from the beginning, the first text to the last now. And Prabhupada is like kind of repeating himself so much. He's repeating for us to understand. So now it's the conversation is between Narada Muni and Lord Brahma. These are very, very super elevated personality. We may think that this knowledge is being imparted for giving Lord Narada Muni some lessons from Brahma. But this is actually for our own benefit. We're stuck here in this material world, suffering like anything, birth, death, old age and disease. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is presented to us, Hare Krishna, to get some. Krishna is so kind. He's not present in this material world come 5,000 years. But he left us so many things to remember him, even as the super soul, within our hearts. Even though we've been a nonsense, he's still there, involved in our every activity. So here Lord Brahma is trying to explain to Narada Muni, even though he was the first created being directly from the Supreme Lord himself, still he was perplexed about his own birth. He was confused until he got some enlightenment from within his heart what to do. So in the beginning of this chapter, Lord Brahma is explaining how this universal form, he's bewildered himself, how this universal form, which was not more than 9 inches high within the heart as a supersoul, expanded to Virata-rupa, the universal form. And within this Virata-rupa, this universal form, is included everything from Lord Brahma right down to Lord Shiva and the tiniest of hands. Everything, animate objects, like Kalakanta, you mentioned about, is in every atom. So Krishna is present in every atom in this material world. So it's really for our benefit. And so this a detailed description is given about this universal form. And Narada Muni Lord Brahma gives in detail about, you know, the representation of all the parts of the Lord's body representing the demigod. I might not come out, my speech is not very good, so just bear with me. So every part of his body represents a demigod, and all are within his body. They have a task to perform. They have a duty. So just a few things that I'd written down, like the mouth of the Lord is his voice, our voice, and his skin is the Vedic hymns, and his tongue, food grains, production of fruit grains, his nostril space, breathing for us. And then these eyes, the sun and the moon. So this is just a few things, but it goes into a detail of there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that's not within the Lord. Everything is within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in 267, in the same, I just took notes from the same chapter. I didn't feel there was a necessary to go anywhere else, because this, for the verses from number 1 to now text 36, was full of everything that you needed. And this one, taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the end-all and the be-all. If we cling on to this verse sincerely within the heart, we can go back home, back to God at no problem, this one verse. But in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada also talks about the feet in the purport, and he's saying that taking shelter of the Supreme Lord is including Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, everything is there, you know, you by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So in 267, in the same chapter, Narada Muni talks about the Lord's lotus feet again in that text. He says, it brings protection from all kinds of fear. So when we are fearless, we can do anything. There's no, you're not fearful of death, you're not fearful of people, you're not, there's no danger that's big enough for you, fearless. If there's fear in the heart of a living entity, then for me, I mean, my realization of fear in the heart is that there's some impurities. There's some impurities we need to look into. So, and in text 10, he explains that the difference between the Lord, Lord's front and his back is non-different. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether it's the back or the front, is the same person. But the back is considered like his shadow. So, but that back is where all the so-called bad qualities are resting, because when we're standing in the back, we can't see the Lord. We are forgetful of the Lord. And then frustration builds up, all kinds of frustration, because you're in the dark, isn't it? You're in the back of the Lord. It's his body, but you can't see him face to face. So you get all kinds of frustration, ignorance, as well as immortality. This is like text 10, you know. It's all connected to this verse. So then again, he mentions the glories, that Krishna's glories, that his qualities cannot be measured. There's no, like, in the material world, you measure something, you can come to the end, you know. There's no, like, going on and on and on, never ending. For building, whatever you're doing, you do through measurements, and you have to cut a certain piece of wood to fit here, a certain piece of wood, pipe or something to fit here. But within the spiritual realm, you can't do anything. It just will manifest itself, you know. Your desires are fulfilled in every aspect. So Krishna is the controller of immortality, fearlessness, and transcendental to death and fruit of actions. And then in 7:14, Krishna, in this verse here, text 36, Prabhupada uses the example of 7:14, which is my favorite verse. Daivi isha gunamayi mama maya durachaya. So, mama, say it. Param tarantite. So this divine energy, Krishna calls this energy divine. Why? Because it's his own energy. It's coming from him. It may be temporary. It may be, you know, bringing us suffering, some pain. But this same energy can take us back home, back to Godhead, if we use it according to sadhu, shastra, and guru. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. According to that, we get this same energy can take us back. So Prabhupada is quoting this 7:14. This divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. Durachaya. Very difficult to overcome. But if you take shelter of me, then you can cross beyond it. It's just like crossing over a mountain is very difficult, but if there's a little hoof print of a calf and there's water, it's very easy to cross over. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then, yeah, we're winners. So I just wanted to give you a little example, a story. Do you like stories? Anyway, a little story. But recently I was in America, so we were in Detroit. And Detroit is like 40 minutes. Where we were was 40 minutes to the border of Canada. So I thought, 40 minutes to the border of Canada, I'll have to add one more country to my list of the places I visited. But it was an illusion, because when we got to it was 40 minutes to the border. We wanted to go to see Niagara Falls, by the way. So we came to the border, and it was a complete illusion, because it took us like 3 or 4 hours to drive before there was some life. It was just like barren land, dry land. We were driving and driving. There was nothing to see, just cars and the highway. No people, no, you know, animals, nothing. Not even trees and, you know, vegetation, nothing. Just dry, open land. Canada, of course. So this was for our sense gratification. We have to drive like 4 hours. Anyway, we got there and we saw this falls. It was the most magnificent falls. I was like, you know, thinking of that verse in Bhagavad Gita. What's it? The spark of my splendor. Yeah. Yeah, this material, and all opulence in the material world is just a spark of my splendor. And I looked at this waterfalls, I thought, my God, this is definitely a spark of your splendor, you know. So beautiful. But there was a contrast, direct contrast. Here you got the beautiful Niagara Falls, and next to it, you got a theme park. You got a theme park like Blackpool. I don't know if anyone of you went to Blackpool. It was like a fun fair with games and rides and casinos and all sorts of things for enjoyment. And I thought, my God, if you're standing and you're looking at the both places, and your heart goes out to the people that are holding on to the sense gratification to enjoy as much as possible from this energy of Krishna's. So that was a sad thing. At the same time, we had a nice experience to see the difference and absorb Krishna's beauty. And the bewildering thing was how inconceivable his potency is. This hundreds and thousands of gallons of water is coming down from this falls, and yet it remains the same. You would think, oh, if so much water is coming, it would overflow. And it overflowed the banks and come, but no, it's always the same, the same. And it was our fortune that while we were there, it was a weekend, there was a firework display. And I thought, my God, Janmashtami replayed, you know. There was hundreds and thousands of people all around the falls watching this fireworks. It was done from a boat. It was the most magnificent sight, because the fireworks were all, the water was almost playing with the fireworks, the colors, the different colors. So that was a nice thing to see. It was beautiful. So Srila Prabhupada preaches that if we take to this Krishna consciousness seriously, we have to use the word seed, not just take to Krishna consciousness, but take to Krishna consciousness seriously, then we are free from all the above. All the above means the kingdom of God is free from deathlessness, fearlessness, anxiety, which is connected to old age and disease. This again is in text 19, all from the same chapter. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So I was listening a little bit to Romapad Swami, and he said, he gave the same class on 36 years and years ago, and he was mentioning how Srila Prabhupada is the perfect example for devotees with an ISKCON. He said, when Srila Prabhupada was a little boy, he was called Abai. And then when he was initiated, he was called Abai Charanaravinda. And then later still, he became Bhaktivedanta Swami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And then he made his own disciples, and his own disciples called him the Swami. And then later on again, there was another presentation of how Srila Prabhupada was addressed, and then he became Srila Prabhupada. So the perfect example of showing how to climb this ladder, slow but sure wins the race. And bhakti is the, but now he breaks it up. What's bhakti and Vedanta? Bhakti means the realization of the Supreme Lord to some extent. Even Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, they couldn't, the demigods cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they are very, very super elevated personalities. So bhakti means realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to some extent. This, we cannot have complete knowledge of the Supreme. And Vedanta is the end of all this knowledge. So, in the material world, everyone is engaged in sacrificing their interest to something. For others, in the form of family, society, community, country, or someone's looking to take care of the whole of society. Like you got this, what the top people, United Nations, they oversee the world, right? So, some people are taking, they want to take over the entire human society. They don't realize that real satisfaction comes from pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because everything is within his grasp. He is the proprietor, the maintainer of all living entities. They don't realize this. So he's a controller of all three energies. The creation, although Brahma creates, is the secondary creator. The original creator is the Supreme Lord. So he creates, maintains, and destroys as well. So Lord Brahma, he convinces Narada, because he has caught hold of Krishna's lotus feet so tightly, he has never proved to be wrong. So he's convincing Narada, yeah? Listen to me. I know the truth. I know facts. If someone, you don't believe someone, if they haven't experienced something, you don't, you know, you're a bit doubtful. If you tell me, oh, believe me when I say this, then you're going to think, how can I believe this person? Unless they went through that experience themselves. So yeah, Lord Brahma is very clever. He says, Narada, that because I have caught hold of the Lord's lotus feet, he's caught hold of it so tightly, it has never proved me to be wrong. Whatever I'm saying, because I've caught his feet, I will never be wrong with what I'm saying. He's convinced about himself. And he says, and also, I won't be deterred or degraded. He won't be deterred or degraded because he fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord. Even if he did, he knows that the Supreme Lord will come to his assistance. Like Prabhu, you said, with the cows, with running after his daughter, everything. The Supreme Lord will personally come and give assistance. We have seen in so many different stories, whether it's a demon or a devotee, when Prahlad Maharaj was giving lessons to the school children, he was teaching them about the Supreme Lord to the demon children. And then Sukracharya's two sons, Sanda and Amarka, they went and grasped him. You know, they told the father, they told Hiranyakashipu, this boy is teaching his sons about Vishnu. And his father was furious. So we have to understand that whether there's demons, whether there's devotees, whether there's materialists or anyone that are there, you know, we should take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. I want to tell you a story. I know it's about my travels in America, but it brought so much insight about the Lord's magnanimity, about how he works out in so many different ways how we can help his devotee. So we're traveling from Detroit to Alachua to Florida, and in between we had a stop in Atlanta. It was like a transit. We were looking for cheap tickets, let's admit it. We had to have one stop in between to go to Florida. Anyway, that one stop was a very significant stop. It wasn't by chance. For me, with the story that went on, for me, it wasn't by chance. It was directly ordained by the Lord. Anyway, we were waiting in the airport, and then I thought, it was around 2 o'clock, I thought, I want to look for somewhere where I can chant my rounds. So I looked on the top. There was the ground floor and the top floor, and I looked, and there was a room that said, Interfaith Meeting. So I thought, oh, that looked like a nice place, interfaith meeting to chant. So I walked up there, went to the room, and I was just about to chant my round, and this Christian priest, a lady, very big lady, very well-dressed, very nicely spoken, she walked in, and she said, oh, it's very nice to see you. I said, yeah, just come to do a little prayer. And she said, oh, so that would be very nice you're here, because every Tuesday, it wasn't a Tuesday, every Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, we have a Bible study. So it's nice that you're here. Oh, my God, I can't just walk away from this room. And she said, it's lovely. So there was this like this, what you call this? Pulpit. And she put the Bible there, and she had a few more Bibles for the other comers that were, you know, other people that were interested. So she gave me a Bible. I thought, I have to sacrifice this time because she's being so sweet, so kind. And then she continued. So I took this Bible, and I opened to the page, and we were reading. She was reading. And then she made notes, just like a devotee. She made like 2 or 3 pages of notes. And she was looking at these notes, and she was saying, amazing what she was saying. The only thing she didn't do was include Krishna's name. That's all she didn't do. Everything she said was a philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So I was so amazed and thinking, put Krishna there. Put Krishna there in my heart. She said in the material world, everything is called she. Why is it called she? Because the she is an expansion of God. The airplanes are called she, the boats are called she, everything is called she because of the expansion of, then I thought, yes, Radharani, you're not saying it. So anyway, she mentioned that. And then she said now, and then she was speaking in tongues. To go quickly, it's 25 pounds. She was speaking in tongues. She got into a trance, and she was very genuine, very seriously. She was calling for the help of God, very seriously. And then she was walking towards me, and I thought, oh, my God, what do I do here? And then she said, okay, please. She finished, she stopped in tongues, and she was praying. She said, please, I want you from the heart. She was still in a trance. I want you from your heart to let go what's inside there. It doesn't have to be any particular language or name or whatever it can be. Please let that come out. Come out of your mouth. Speak it. Say it. Say whatever you want. It doesn't matter what language, because she saw was with the brown skin and Indian. She said, it doesn't matter what language you speak, speak it. I said, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. She was standing there, she was like, she was in a trance, she was in ecstasy. She said, my God, please chant it two more times. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So I chanted two more times. She said, you carry on chanting, I'll have to go to the others. Because it's like, you've been saved, you're okay. I have to see to the others, you carry on chanting. So I carried on chanting loudly. Then she went to the next person, and he was having so much trouble to, you know, to speak or to come out with. She carried on, then I thought maybe he's shy or something. So I said, you'll have to excuse me, I have to go now. So then I laughed. And I thought, this Krishna is so amazing because of the sincerity of this lady and a desire to help everyone. She comes there every week, you know, to help people. And she said, we have to feel sorry, just like us, what we say. We have to feel sorry, compassion for those that haven't got God consciousness. We have to help them. So I found, you know, I realized that within my heart that Krishna is so kind to her. He's allowed her to hear the holy name. And I bumped into her downstairs when she was leaving, and she said, oh my God, Lalita, I have to take a picture with you. And she took a picture. Anyway, this was a story, and I was blissed out after because I was chanting the holy name. So Lord Brahma, in 35, just yesterday's verse, he was saying, he explains, though, that although he's coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he's taking the humble position. He's taking that humble position to admit his failure to know. So to know the Supreme Lord fully. So in today's text, there's so many things there. All, everything else is included. And Prabhupada's talking about perceive, I looked the meaning of perceive. It says to understand and think about someone in a particular way. This was the meaning in the dictionary. So talks about bhavachidam. Bhavachidam is to cut. Like Chaitanya in Shikshastakam, bhava mahadeva vagni nirvapanam. Bhava means like this great material existence. How to stop it, how to cut it. And the only way we can stop this existence of birth, death, old age and disease is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And auspicious, I looked at the meaning, we have auspicious, Sumangalam is auspicious. I thought, let me see what meaning it does. He said, something that is going to be successful, auspicious, something that is going to be successful in the future or right now. That was the meaning in the dictionary of, auspicious. So, only surrendered souls will experience this auspiciousness. And this auspiciousness, it comes from taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma is stressing the point of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. If the sky cannot estimate its limits, and Krishna cannot estimate his own limits, then what to speak of us? So I just wanted to read what Krishnadas Kaviraj, will end here, what Krishnadas Kaviraj says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 4th chapter. He says, conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani, whose feelings are incomprehensible even to the Lord himself. Intensity of her loving service is the highest form of ecstasy. No one can surpass Radharani in relishing the qualities of the Lord through his supreme transcendental mellow. Therefore, the Lord himself agreed to assume the position of Radharani in the form of Gauranga, golden form of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, I'm going to stop there. There's so many other things to talk about, but we'll say 30 if someone else has questions or whatever. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the beautiful class.
Thank you.
This verse deserves a whole seminar.
I know, just one page left.
One reflection I have from your class is when you're describing the universal form, and I think if I caught correctly, you mentioned that the grains are represented by the airspace of the nostrils of the Lord.
The mouth.
Is it the mouth?
Production of grains.
It's the mouth?
Yeah.
Okay.
And fire.
And what is in the...
Agni. Nostril space, like breathing.
Okay. Oh, prana.
Yeah, prana.
And I was thinking, when we look at what I do, which is the agricultural part, to understand how that life, prana, is transferred to us, that is so incredible. Mm. Yesterday, one devotee's house, we went, and he's making pizzas, but he's grinding the flour right at the moment. So he grinds, and all the life is so present.
Yeah.
So I just thought that my reflection was, among so many beautiful things you said, how understanding how the Lord displays His universal form allows us to get the best out of these energies to offer to Him.
Yeah.
So I thought that was something interesting. And last point is, when you mentioned the transition between the desert kind of scenario, I've been to the Niagara Falls. It's really very beautiful. And the falls, we can just see how when we deal with nature in a way which is destructive, it's really disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk towards the beauty of nature as it is.
Yeah.
You immediately feel reconnection. So I feel more and more devotees are getting interest to understand how these energies play and how can we translate it into the transcendental mission of self-realization. So I thought it was a beautiful class. Thank you.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay.
Anyone else? You mentioned a point that Krishna is faithful. Lord Brahman, he realized that he couldn't say something that was wrong. And it's interesting because then Krishna also mentioned, and in the, I think it's Canto 5, chapters 3 and 17, King Nabi, when he prayed for his son. But Krishna said, the Lord said that the vibrations of the pure devotee or the qualified Brahman should never go untrue. And he considered the errors to be as good as my mouth, or something to that effect.
Yep.
So it's interesting that a pure devotee can speak, even if it's wrong, Krishna will make it right.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? Because
he's
faithful to his pure devotee, he will never let him down or her down. So
yeah.
That's my reflection.
Very good, because that's what it's explained there, that he's never deterred and he can't do anything wrong. Or if he did do something wrong, he's corrected. So how can what he's doing is wrong? Because he's corrected. The Supreme Lord is there to, you know, help his devotees. Like when he did, when Lord Brahma stole the cows and, you know, other things, so many things. But the Supreme Lord is there to protect his devotees, because they take shelter of him.
But do you know that story when King Nabi was asking for a son, and Krishna, a son like Krishna, like Vishnu, and Krishna says, well, there's no one can equal me, or there's another second or original, there's another person that is equal to me, so I have to come myself, okay? And it was such a tall request, such a huge request, but because the Brahman has said so, Krishna honored it, even though there is not another Krishna, okay?
Right.
But I thought that was, I'll just make that connection.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, we'll stop there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Guru Parampara Ki Jai.